Hey everybody, it's Jake and I am alone in the basement. I am back after last night talking to Marcus Zeal, and this time we're going to be talking to someone who I've been watching since I was in high school, which is crazy to say when you think about the longevity here. And, you know, now within the last year kind of being more of an on-topic personality, but we're going to be talking to the mental messiah, Insane Lane. We are literally at this point only a few days away from Tournament of Death, where he will be competing, and we're going to get some insight on that. We're going to talk to him about this most recent comeback, which started in spring of last year, and you know, kind of pick his brain a little bit about, you know, maybe what made him want to come back and how he's feeling about this run so far. But this one's definitely going to be cool because, you know, like I was saying just seconds ago, this is somebody I was watching, you know, in the mid-2000s, and he was pretty instrumental in when I was first getting into that American deathmatch scene. So I'm excited for this one, guys. So stick around, in a few seconds we will be with Insane Lane. All right, everybody, we are back, and we are again with the mental messiah, Insane Lane. Again, just thank you so much, man, for taking some time out of your life to sit here and talk with me, especially days away from TOD. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man.
So I figured instead of just kind of doing like a whole career retrospective, I felt like we would be here all night if we tried to start way back. So I think we should just kind of focus on your resurfacing.
Shit, we probably talked about how you just...
Oh, you totally cut out on me, man. You still there?
Yeah. It's like there was a spacing or something. I don't know.
Do you have me on speaker?
I don't know.
Did you say Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Maybe take it off Bluetooth and put it on speaker.
Alright.
How's this?
Oh, that's way better. Alright.
Alright. Well, I just don't like walking around with a phone in my hand. I try to put my headphones on and talk so I can walk around and talk and stuff, but I guess we'll just have to do it this way.
I'm sorry, Lane.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right, so then we'll try to get through this quickly then. you stepped away for a while from wrestling, but what was it that made you want to come back after being away for, I think, like close to 5 years?
Honestly, my last few matches I had before I stepped away, I was not in the best shape. I had let myself go. I had, I was with some family problems at home. My kid's mom was dealing with stuff, and I was, life was just hard, man. And for a while, I didn't wrestle. I came back, I started getting, my life started getting better again, and I just felt like I didn't want my career to end up like, man, Lane could have done this, or he was, you know, I said it in my, and I felt like, now, my children are older, and my kids never really see me wrestle, and I mean, they just heard, and I, like, well, there's, I'm gonna try and rewrite the what ifs and whatnot. Now's the time to do it, and do it, while I'm young and my body's not failing me completely yet.
I get that, man. That definitely makes sense. And what would you say was the hardest part about getting back into the ring?
The fans.
Really?
Believe it or not, it's not that I hate the fans or anything like that. It's just I have terrible, terrible anxiety, and I am very, very shy. And I know y'all see Insane Lane out there. I'm like, yeah, yeah, and all that. But it's hard for me. I act like, you know, I just see a mass when I'm out there, and I just try to go out there and hash, because I just have this crippling anxiety of being around a whole bunch of people, and which is ridiculous, because I'm a wrestler. You're supposed to want to wrestle in front of a million people and stuff. But man, I don't know. It's just sometimes when I go out there and do my thing and stuff, sometimes I'll hear one or two things, and then I'll just kind of go into my little, my own little world, I guess. And then I step in the ring, and then I it's just my opponents or.
Honestly, that was not an answer I was expecting, and I feel like that's a very insightful answer.
Oh. Man, I'm very, like I said, I mean, I wear a mask nowadays mainly, so I don't, I mean, it's sad to say this, I wear it mainly now just so I kind of do my thing, you know. I'm kind of like, I don't know, look at me, but don't look at me. No, it does make sense, because I'm in the same lane, it's not supposed to.
Exactly.
Don't look at me, but look at me. Don't look at me, but look at me. I'm like a Pink Floyd concert. Like the music and the lights, but don't fucking look at me.
It's the best way to put it. But since you showed up in March of last year, you've stayed pretty busy. And while you said the fans can kind of, you know, be a deterrent to you, how does it feel to be so, like, welcomed back into wrestling?
Honestly, I was not expecting a lot, to be honest with you. Young kids, come up to me and say, I never watched you before. You're my favorite wrestler. I mean, I've had, now this, like I said, I say the hard thing is the fans, but, some of the little gestures I get from them, make it easier to digest, I guess, if you will. And I was going somewhere with this, and now I've kind of lost my train of thought.
That's a Brad Cash. Don't
you hate that? Yeah, I have hung around it a little way too much. I love you, yeah. But it's just. I mean, since I've been back, what were you asking me? Since I've been back, I what now?
How do you feel like you've been welcomed back? Like, how would you explain that feeling of everybody kind of just having a warm reaction?
It's wonderful. Well, I guess what I was trying to go with the kids thing, them sending me nice gestures and stuff, it makes it worth it. And then, being able to get, booking opportunities with some not nice places, reputable places, and not just a little hole I was doing for a while, smaller name places and stuff. I've actually been able to do more things, this time around, and the effort that I've had to put in and stuff. So I just hope that this will catapulted more, because this TOD is going to probably determine my direction going forward.
I can get that. And when I first, when you popped back up and wrestled Brad last March, I was like, oh, cool. Well, Insane Lane, you don't really see him often. And I didn't think it was going to springboard into, holy shit, Lane's back. This is cool.
I didn't either at first. I was just going to, hoping it would, but I went out there on my mask with Brad, and so nervous. But even though we didn't go over a whole lot, and we ended up having a great match regardless. But I'm just saying, I was so nervous because I didn't know how people were going to react, or if I was going to stink, or something like that. But it all turned out really good. It was a really mad. Told myself driving home, I got emotional about it. Said, this is the last time I ever wrestle, I'll be okay with it, because because this is the last match I ever have with Brad, it's a mystery, and this is it. But it didn't turn out that way.
No, it's I'm sorry. It's definitely gone a whole lot crazier than that. And I think one of the biggest things that a lot of us have noticed, the fans, is that your appearance, even from then to now, is just crazy. What motivated you to be able to lose all this weight, and how were you able to do it? Because you're an inspiration to fat guys like me who want to drop weight.
I can tell you, it's a pretty wild story. I had gone up to 380 pounds, and I was not in good shape. I was had horrible sleep apnea. I mean, blood sugar, borderline diabetes, everything, man. And I went to the doctor, and they said, "How old are you?" I said, I told him, I said, I think he's at the time he was like 9 or something, and they said, if you keep this, I'm not going to live to see him your way. And I was like, oh. So I was all depressed. And that didn't really help me, but I started getting these sleep paralysis episodes. Here's where it gets really interesting. I started getting these sleep paralysis episodes, and I would start hearing, like, static come from my phone, like radio static. And I couldn't move. And the next thing I knew, I feel like I was levitating, and I looked, and these people and blew out. I don't know what they were doing, but they were just looking over me like they were doctors, like they were like talking about my diagnosis or something. I don't know, but I had a couple of these paralysis dreams like this. I had one where another one of these people were sitting in the corner of my bedroom just watching over me, kind of like a nurse from the old days, you know, how a nurse would sit with a patient, you know, at night and stuff. Well, that they were doing this, and then the last one, I didn't see nothing, but they spoke, and they said Lane, and it was a voice I've known my whole life. It sounded like my mother, but it wasn't my mom's alive. But it said Lane, and it sounded like it was coming from the my kitchen, and it said Lane, you're going to die, and man. That there, I don't know what it was, that just the calmness, matter-of-factness, and the familiarity, I guess, of that voice telling me that I was going to die. Dude, that shit ran me cold, woke me up. I shot straight up out of my bed, and I didn't go to wake up. I didn't go back to sleep, and actually my son got up for school the next day. He had said, he even remembers it. He said, Dad, I remember that. He said, I remember you telling me about that story. He said, you were so upset. And the following month or something, I started making the changes to get healthy. Yeah. And I started bulking, and the weight didn't come off real fast at first. I think I only lost like 40, 50 pounds the first year. Which was 2009, but in 2020, I lost like 100 more. It was a damn paralysis, cosmic, interdimensional beings telling me that I was going to die if I didn't get back.
Hey, man, whatever works, works. That's what...
Hey, whatever works. Yeah.
I mean,
I know it sounds crazy, but man, it happened. I don't know how. I mean, I can't explain it. I was the last person to be telling this story to anybody, I would think, because I'm kind of a skeptic, but that shit happened to me, and I was like, man, if this is some kind of message from beyond or some shit, damn it, I'm still trying.
The human mind is an absolutely crazy thing that can just that can do so much fucking weird and creepy shit. And if that was your brain's way of telling you, hey, we got to get shit together, then clearly it knew what it was doing.
I don't know whatever it was. I don't know what it was. But something just scared shit out of me in my sleep to wake me up and get my ass going. You know, and when I did, I mean, the last thing was to make sure the fitness quest, the last thing was wrestling. The first thing, healthy and get my family back together and all that stuff. Cause like I said, I felt like if I didn't have my house in order, how do I expect to go out there and, you know, and handle things out there, you know, if I can't even handle things at home. So I made sure I had that taken care of. And then I was like, okay, everything's fine here. And now I can, go and, try to see if I can do this wrestling thing and try finish off on a good note, you know, and that's all I really want to do. And my kids to see, you know, yeah, they hear the stories of NC Lane and all this, and all that. But, you know, the most remember me is just being real fat and not doing a whole lot and struggling. And though I did everything I could for them, you know, I struggled internally, you know, and with my own problems and stuff. So, but now that I've worked all out, I would guess, a lot better than it was before. And, you know, I felt like, you know, now I can go out here and try and do something that my kids can be proud of, I guess.
I think
a lot of kids, their dads are airline pilots, engineers, whatever, you know, what's your dad? He's a wrestler. You know, I want to at least say, you know, hey, he's a badass, cool shit.
But even that story of, you know, wanting to get, you know, yourself in order, your family in order, that's inspirational shit, man. To just, you know, to just one day wake up and be like, all right, I got to change now. Because there's a lot of people out there who want to change, but they necessarily don't find that moment where the switch turns on.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Just like a switch went off. I mean, I guess, you know, I knew that, I mean, my mom's was, you know, she was going to make a valiant effort this time to get help and stuff. You know what? I can't sit here and quit. I ain't playing a victim, because all I'm doing is participating and being a victim of her problems. And that's really what it all boiled down to. That was a big key in it, and I was able to move on and work on myself independently, you know, without worrying, you know, is this going to benefit me in the future for gain of something else? You know, it was actually just for me, just to get healthy and die.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, and that's when it was genuine. That's when I knew it was real, you know, so that's why I like, at this point, what with the approach I'm doing this time, I think is a lot better than the other approaches that I tried, because it didn't work.
Yeah, clearly you found the something that works, and you look great, man. You really do. Best shape I think most of us have ever seen you in.
Thank you. Yeah, since probably I was in the military, yeah, which was 2 decades ago.
Wow. Yeah, so that's a crazy thing too, to think of you getting it together 20 years later, because a lot of people, like I said, just don't get it together.
Yeah. The key to it all is just don't participate in being a victim, you know, of chances and stuff. You know, you got to kind of own it. On whatever circumstance you're in, and not let it own you. I mean, I know I'm starting to sound like Tony Robbins here, but it's true, man. I mean, you can't just, you know, let sit there and feel, let, you know, let sorrow, because they'll eat you up. I mean, they still eat me up, but I do better with it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, man. Honestly, that's. I can't even put into words how, like, that makes perfect sense. And I hope that people listening can really take that to heart, because that's solid life advice. That's not even wrestling advice. It's just life advice that you could use.
I know, man. I thought it was a rest. That's what happened.
I mean, it goes off, man. Tangents will fuck with you. So maybe we'll bring it back. So after being, you know, away from like the from TOD for so long, how were you approached about being in this year's Tournament of Death?
How was I what? I'm sorry.
How were you approached? Who got a hold of you?
That's actually a great story to tell. I had just got done doing a show for ICWA in Tennessee. They were doing a show in Sevierville, and me and Brad Cash were having a tag match against Sarah Dox and Travis Dykes. Well, after that, you know, there was a bar, so we went and got something to eat, and I got a message from Shannon Hunter saying, "What are you doing October 29th? They said, "Are you available?" I said, "Well, I'm actually booked. What you got?" She sends me a graphic of Tournament of Death. And I go, I turned to Brad and I go, "Brad," because I was supposed to be booked at TPW on the 29th. I said, "Now, Brad, I know we've got some stories and stuff planned and stuff." I said, "But I turned and showed him the phone. And I said, they want me for this on the 29th. And Brad just kind of, his eyes lit up. "Go." He said, we'll figure it out. Just go. I was like, "Okay." But I wanted to make like I said, he's my tag partner. Me, you know, Brad's been a real good help for me. You know, he's helped me get steady work. You know, TPW. I felt as a courtesy to him, I should at least just tell him, "Hey, they want me at TOD, man. I think I'm all going take it." But I mean, I wanted to just at least tell him, "Hey, you know, come on, man. You know, don't make me choose." But he didn't, and then, man, lo and behold, you know, shit, he got back. He got on there. So yeah, it was great.
And
that's how I got approached by it.
TBW that Lane is referring to is Total Psychopathic Wrestling. I'm friends with all the guys behind the scenes there, so I'm sure the moment you told Matt, "Hey, Tournament of Death is on the plate," I'm sure Matt even told you, "Fucking do it now."
Oh yeah. They were all for it, you know, and hell, they got guys on the regular, you know, on the regular roster that's going to be in it. Me, Brad, and the Necro Butcher, because Necro's been there a lot too. So, I mean, that's kind of boastful.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It definitely
looks good for them. Looks good for them.
It's definitely going to get more eyes on them as they've been one of the most consistent and what the fuck's the word I'm looking for here? The delivery, I guess, is just TPW is fucking awesome. There, that's what I'm trying to say. And yeah,
there you go.
And that for years now they've been putting out great shows.
I feel like what they're trying to do there and stuff. And I'm hoping, you know, we can, you know, going with me and Brad there and next month and whatnot, we'll start catapulting some things for it. So I'm really excited for TW and whatnot.
Yeah, and they're...
Yeah, but I'm very grateful for Brad getting me on there, though.
Oh, yeah, and I think the thing I'm just trying to explain is that, you know, Knoxville isn't necessarily a pro deathmatch town. So for them to kind of change the atmosphere there and get more people to shows and to be so consistent and to be there, you know, month in, month out, putting on these great fucking shows, it's showing that it's not like a in the moment thing. TPW's there. They've been there. They're not going anywhere. And they're one of the more sturdy deathmatch promotions of the South.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, the last time you were in Tournament of Death was 2007, and you made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, 15 years ago.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, semifinals, yeah.
So now to kind of be back and, you know, you're looking great, you're feeling better, you're in... I think when I was talking with Brad about it, you're like at a point in your career where you probably do so much more now than you could have done years ago. So to be back now, how's that making you feel?
I'm fortunate for one. To be back at 15 years, you know, it's great. I really don't know what else to say about it besides, you know, there's a great, I'm in there with seven other great guys. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it just, this tournament of death, this show feels special, real special to me because, I mean, I've kind of told myself going forward, I will sit there every single deathmatch tournament that's out there. I'll do ones that matter if they'll have me. But I'm not going to sit there and just jump into every tournament and stuff. I feel I need to kind of be a little more choosy with that. And then this, the fact that they contacted me to do Tournament of Death, and they're trying to relaunch and try to, they're trying to get back in the game. And the fact that they called on me along with the seven others, to say, hey, us. Restart this the combat zone back, And I was like, so I mean, I'm a loyal person, man. You put stock in me, you put real stock in me. I will sit there and I will produce dividends for you. And if the fact that they sat there and want me, Brad, Oren, Mickey, Necro, Otis, Bev and Big F and Joe, did I miss anybody? I hope I didn't. If I didn't, I apologize. But if they want all of us in there to swim back, then you know what? I take I'm going to do my best, to win the damn thing, to show that, I know Insane Lane for the last 10 years or so was not that great. And I probably didn't deserve any kind of dap at that time. But I at least show that I can still go out there and do what I do best. And now hopefully, and I think not even hopefully, I'm confident I can do it at a better level than I have in recent memory.
Man, even just watching your non-deathmatch stuff lately, how well you're flowing in the ring and your movement and the speed of which your match is.
Thank you. Like
your match with Billy Tipton recently at Action, that was so fucking good. And the way that you guys were flowing and everything that went together, I loved that match. That was really good to me. And it was one of the things of holy shit, look at Lane go. Because you're right, I think there's a lot of people that when they hear Insane Lane, they kind of remember you of what you were on the way out in the early 2010s. And then to look at you now, man. It's like, holy fuck, man, look at Lane. That's an inspiration.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And if there's anything I can do, maybe go forward, it's not too late to turn it around, and even if I, don't be world champion or whatever, I mean, that's not my thing. I just want to go out there and do what I do best. I want to win a tournament. I want to win a tournament of death. Definitely. But my goal is come back and just show people, hey, it's you can fall down, but you can get back up and try your best again, and you might be surprised with what you get. Because believe me, I've been pretty surprised, good and bad.
Man, honestly, that's a great way to put it. And we just talked, like you said, this field is absolutely stacked. There's so many amazing deathmatch wrestlers in this. And by luck of the draw, in the first round, you get to go one-on-one with your own tag team partner, Brad Cash. What kind of emotions does that have you going through, knowing that you and Brad got to go murder each other to start this all off?
Honestly, I know Brad has said he's glad it's me. I wish it had been later on. I wish it had been fine.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I wish it had been me in the finals, but you know what? I don't live in a perfect world, but I can dream. But I got me and him in the first round, and we're partners. I feel like we're like outcasts, man. I mean, we come to the deathmatch world that's kind of happened. You know, people where we. You said earlier. You know, I mean, deathmatches don't fly very well in the South, and when I was doing them 15 years ago, they definitely didn't fly well, you know? So now here we are, you know, in this tournament, you know, coming from a place that, you know, that people kind of shun us from, you know, and other parts of the world kind of like, okay, well, he's, you know, yeah, okay, Lane and Brad, all right. Well, okay, yeah, it is Lane and Brad, and we're going to show you something. We got some shark teeth to get good right. with. Brad's good with the shark teeth, and you know, and I am the worst hitting home run derby I'm the best worst hit home run derby champion of all time. So there you go. So it should be a really good slobber knocker, and I've got some good experience being in TA before, and you know, this is familiar territory for me because I had to face my partner in the first round in the day.
Oh, that's right. You did face Freak Show in the first round. And then it was
brain damage in the neck.
I knew it was brain damage. I was trying to remember who the other one, but it was Necker yet. Which is still, what a fucking cast that was for that fucking year. Holy shit.
It was really good. And, not a really good. So I've got experience in doing this. So I think that's for me. But Brad's 10 years younger than me, you know, and he's a bad dude. So I mean, he's got advantages too. So I mean it's going to be a good match. And we both have a great story to tell. His is a promise. To a past friend, and mine is, you know, just the old man who was counted out and, you know, and left for career oblivion, came back better than ever, you know. So, you know, I just hate that. Unfortunately, his story is going to end there, and mine's got to go on, and that's all I gotta say. But he knows I love him, and he knows if it was perfect world, if we'd be in the finals, and you know, it'd be like that. But I'm ready for it, and I know he's ready for me.
I definitely feel like out of the eight competitors, you and Brad are the ones who I feel like have the most to prove, and not necessarily to the world, but to yourselves.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that statement. I think we really do, because I mean, we're not the bigger household names like the other people are, and but we have the reputation of being with those guys who have the better reputation, and they all vouch for us.
Yeah.
Well, except Tank with Brad Cash. Brad, don't ask Tank about Brad Cash ever.
Brad, goddamn Cash.
Oh God, you gonna work Brad? Oh God. God damn. Dropping on his head for me.
That's just, yeah, that's spot on. And all right, you've pretty much told us at this point what winning Tournament of Death would mean to you, but do you feel like if you were, you know, at the end of the night, hold the trophy up high, would that be checking off a bucket list moment for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let me tell you something. When I got started, I'm gonna wind this back to when I was about to quit for the first time. It was back in, I was like 2003, 2004, yeah, around that time, I was getting ready to quit. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't even doing death matches. I was just a regular ass wrestler, you know? But I had a character, but I wasn't really going anywhere. Well, I was about to quit, and I went to my sister and her husband's house, and I was just kind of telling them, it's her ex-husband now. She they ain't married no more, but he's a well-known guy. She was married to Conrad Thompson, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Don't ask me anything about them, but they were married at one time, and Conrad showed me a video of the Necro Butcher and said, I could see you doing this stuff. He said, have you thought about doing some death matches? I was like, yeah. I said, I like watching, but who's them around here? Well, and you know, and that's how I got into it, was because of that. And so just to go back from that part to now, you know, almost quitting, and where I come from there to now is just, it just means so much to me to be able to, you know, hold that trophy up, you know, it was the CZW stuff, you know, that he was showing me of his. And I was like, oh my God. And I mean, yeah. And the Nick Mondos and the Homeless Jimmies, you know, Zandig and the Wife Beater. Yeah. And I knew, but I'm not trying to cut any credit. IWA Mid-South, they had their stuff too, but he was showing me that stuff first, and then that's when I started knowing the other stuff. I wasn't really that, you know, today about indie wrestling until I got into it, but yeah, it's definitely a bucket list thing, man. I want to win it, because I want to be able to bring it home, show my kid, you know, and you know he's even picked out a spot for me to put it. He said, Dad, you can put the trophy right here. And I said, that's exactly where I was going to put it, too. And so he's really excited. He even told me, Dad, I hope you win Tournament of Death. I said, I do too, son. So that means a lot to me. He knows it means a lot to me, so. Apparently, because he came up to me yesterday and said, Daddy, I hope you win Tournament of Death while I was getting ready.
Well, that's awesome. That is really awesome. And I'm glad you're getting these moments now with your kids, you know, being that into their dad, you know, being a wrestler.
I'm thankful to have them. And, you know, I have a stepdaughter, but she just moved out, got her apartment. Wasn't really too thrilled about it. I saw it, and it ain't bad. She's doing really good. So apparently I've done okay.
Hey, man,
I taught him something.
That's all we can do as parents is hope we're doing the right thing and that our kids learn.
Yeah, I'm a lot loving. I try to tell them, like, look, it's not really on what I do, but learn from what I mess up from. Yeah. Maybe it's the most important stuff, and don't do it.
And I was saying this in the intro before you and I were talking, but when I first got into deathmatch wrestling, I was exposure through, like, Japanese tapes. And then when I finally got, you know, old enough to where, okay, I can go on SmartMark and buy my own DVDs and shit. And I was buying CZD stuff and mid-2000s IWA stuff. You were one of the first people that I got to see do deathmatches.
Oh, so your expectations were already low. All right.
Well, no, so it's just, it's cool for me to be like, man, I was watching Insane Lane when I was a fucking senior in high school doing death matches for IWA. And
wow, man, that's cool, man. It really is, because I got to tell you, I've had a lot of guys, even in the business, you know, say, man, I used to watch you when I was a kid and all this stuff. And I had a guy, AEW, yesterday, say, hey, I heard you were back in TOD, man, all the best. Yeah, dude from AEW, man. I've never met him or anything, but apparently he grew up watching Insane Lane. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you watch in the same lane, you too can be an AEW wrestler.
You heard it there first.
I may not own it, but you can. Just step over me. Everybody else has. Come on, come on, come on.
Well, all right, Lane, that is all I have for wrestling-related questions. Are you now ready for some questions that have absolutely nothing to do with wrestling?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, the first one is important to me. Everyone gets asked this. No one is skipped, to my knowledge. Grape or strawberry jelly?
Grape.
Thank you. Grape jelly gang for life. What's your least favorite holiday?
My least favorite holiday?
Yeah, what one do you wish you could skip?
That's a good question. My least favorite holiday? Valentine's Day.
All right. What subject were you best at in high school?
I was good in social sciences. And I was in history, government, law, economics, those classes. I was at them.
All right. Are you a dog or cat person?
I just did a fun question. Do what?
Are you a dog or cat person?
I got a cat named Oliver, man. He's my dude.
All right.
I love dogs too, though.
Godzilla or Jurassic Park?
Ooh. God dang it. You know what? Just because I remember seeing it in theaters when it came out when I was a teenager, and I remember the sound was so badass, I'm going to say Jurassic Park, man, because I thought the first one was fucking awesome.
Yeah, the first one is fucking great. All right, man, and the last one, the standard bearer of this show. What's the creepiest basement you've ever been in and why?
The creepiest basement?
Yes.
You know what, man? I kind of played in a basement most of my life, so I'm not really scared of basements. But there was one.
It's always one.
There's this one. God, I'm trying to remember. I was really young. But, God dang it, I remember it was one of my aunts, I think it was my grandma's aunt or something that had a crawl space under her, that was like, I don't know, man, like a shed cellar, I don't know, but I just remember they just said, don't ever go in there.
Oh my God.
Don't ever go in there. And I was like, okay. And yeah, man. Now the more I think about it, it kind of freaks me out. Now that you kind of got me, man, you're kind of repressing. You're kind of bringing out repressed memories, dude. Oh shit! I kind of remember them open it one time, and dude, it smelled like death.
Oh God!
I don't know what that in there, but I just remember they just said don't ever go in there, and I remember they opened it one time and it smelled really. I just asked them about it. They're long dead now. Everybody, they're all gone now. But I mean, I just remember they just said, don't ever go in there. And I remember the husband opened the door in there one time. And I mean, he just went in there like it was nothing, shut it. And I got a whiff of it and it was horrible. And he came back out like, I don't know, like 5 minutes later, I'm like, how do you stand that smell? But yeah, that's the creepiest basement, man, or whatever the hell it was.
You know it's creepy. I was about to say, you know it's creepy when you don't even have to go in it and you're scared fucking shitless of it.
Yeah, the smell scared me. I mean, just the fact, I mean, it just, I don't know, man. I mean, they told me not go in there, but sometimes I get near it and And they usually had it locked, but you know there was times I thought maybe if I can kind of there just to see, but now I'm glad I didn't.
Well, all right, Lane.
Well, I probably never would have been seen again.
Thank you so much for, again, taking this time and talking to me. I know that you mentioned you will not have merch with you at Tournament of Death this weekend. So tell everybody where to buy it.
Where to go? Okay. I have two merch slingers, and they're both great people. You can get my Ultraviolet Dad stuff and several other shirts by Sayozawa from DieHardsDesign.com. And you can get some other shirts of mine, including the Peace of Mind Camel Mask shirt and the Clayco shirt at deathmatchworldwide.com. You can go both in places. They have all the shirts and all the stuff you need, because I ain't selling them. Tired shit.
I don't blame you, man. It probably gets hectic just trying to manage it yourself.
It is, because it's just being, you know, if I had somebody, you know, to, you know, help me sling it and stuff, man, it wouldn't be so bad. But man, it's just me, and I just don't have the time or the patience to sit there and do that. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just not a very personable person to most.
Well, again,
Lane, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it, and thank you for the time. I hope this was a good podcast to you and your listeners.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. And you know what? Even if they don't give a fuck, I do. I'm glad I got to talk to someone that, you know, was instrumental in helping me build my love for death matches. And
well, man, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm glad to have support. We're all of us are glad to have support of fans like you, man.
Well, thank you, man. That definitely means a lot to me. And you know, good luck out there. I will definitely be trying to catch that stream that later in the evening, and I'm pumped for it, man. So good luck. Take care. Try not to get seriously hurt, and just keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm really loving this comeback run.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much, man.
All right, take it easy.
All right,
everybody. Again, that was Insane Lane, and we gave you a quick catch-up from what he's been doing since the return last March. And, again, that one was a really cool one for me because, like I said, when you know, when you finally had the chance to buy stuff with your own money and not have to ask my parents, and my mom usually listens to these, so hi, Mom. You know, it was cool to that's a guy, I remember really watching like 6 Feet Under matches, you know, with him in Freak Show, and now wrestling is weird, and having this podcast is weird sometimes, because if you had told 18-year-old JK, man, one day you're going to be in a basement talking to Insane Lane, I would have been like, no, oh, man, are you high? Like, that don't make sense, but here we are in life, and I'm glad you guys are along for the ride with me. If you're looking for me, or if you see this get shared somewhere, all over Facebook, you know, just give Alone in the Basement a like, because, you know, sometimes I have more listens than I do likes, and that doesn't make sense to me. So if you could, give a like Alone in the Basement on Facebook. And that is going to be the end of my my October. It was a pretty busy one, actually, but it was great coming back for the month and talking to so many great people, and I can't wait. We will be back next week, and we're going to keep this going for, you know, as long as we can, because I'm having fun, and I hope you guys are having fun listening to me and hear me bullshit with some special people in wrestling. So, all right, guys, take care, stay safe, and I love all you.